God bless you, God bless you, God bless you as you tune in. Hallelujah. May you be illumined with the light of life. Blessed be your name, O King of Glory. Lord of hosts, loving Father, hallelujah. We lift up that name today. Let that name be exalted in our individual lives. Blessed be your name, O God. Let this message go forth to bring forth illumination, understanding, awakening, quickening in your people. Hallelujah. Let your people see your day. Let there be joy. Hallelujah. Let them see that great salvation that has been reserved for those that love the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Many years ago, Jesus Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word remains forever. Paul came later on the scene and said that the things that we see are what? Temporal. But the things that are unseen are what? Eternal. So if anything you can see with your eyes, you can touch and perceive with your natural senses, it's only temporal, for the moment. See, but that which you can't see with the natural mind, those things which are eternal, are invisible, unperceivable, you can't perceive them with the natural mind. John came along the scene and wrote, love not this world, nor the things that are in this world. See, because the world is what is passing away, but those that do the will of God abide forever. Peter came on the scene and spoke about a treasure, a promise reserved for us, which is a kingdom that can never fade away. See, it's incorruptible kingdom that is reserved for us. See, it, and true to their sayings, you cannot see the Apostle John anymore. See, you can't find him anymore. I bet you can't even find the bones of John the Apostle anymore. You can't find Paul anymore. You can't find Peter anymore. After the flesh, that is. See, and if you are still looking to find Jesus, or to behold Jesus physically, well, I must say you are greatly mistaken, because he's no more in that form. So you see, that physical body or that physical appearance they put on for a moment is no more. See, but they have been taken up into an eternal dimension that can never pass away. Hallelujah. So we are not called to set our affections on this present world, or this present system of things, which is passing away. See, the world does not just pass away when you die. We're not saying that when you die, that thing which really has to pass away is our mode of perceiving the creation. That which has to pass away is the natural reasoning of man. Are you listening? The natural reasoning of man. You can still be here upon the earth, and you get a hold of this revelation of Christ and enter into that dimension of eternity where you can never die. Jesus Christ says, some of you here will never what? Die. He was speaking as he was up, you know, about to ascend that mountain where he transfigured. He said, some of you standing here with me on this spot, will never what? Die. until they see the kingdom coming. This is what John is saying, that those that do the will of God abide forever. They abide forever. That means they enter into that eternal realm, which Paul says that is not seen or perceived with the natural mind. They begin to walk in relation to that realm, and they never die. Hallelujah. Because it doesn't mean that you continue in this world with a physical body, but your state of being never alters anybody, but you just continue on in eternity. Praise God. So you see, the will of God, like we are beginning to understand, is that every man hear the voice that is crying in the wilderness right now, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. You know, the testimony of Jesus is prophetic, to say. The way Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, and the way he was birthed by a virgin, and the way he was eventually taken up into the invisible, because Jesus Christ, at the end of his ministry, he was swallowed up into a cloud. He was swallowed up into the invisible. And the disciples there were just there, gaping, looking into the sky, until an angel tapped them and told them, man, he don't bother looking there anymore. He's not there anymore. Forget that. See, all that thing that Jesus Christ went through, his sufferings, his tribulations, he's being rejected, despised by men, all those things up to his glorification, ascension, is only prophetic about the things of the path, showing the path which every son of God is going to pass through. Every child of God is going to pass through that same path which Jesus Christ walked. Hallelujah. There's that voice that heralded the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, which is, prepare ye the way of the Lord. See, now we're not deviating from the lake of fire, but I just want to start off from the book of Matthew, and let us just see some of the words of John the Baptist, the one who cried in the wilderness. Rugged man. See, who will not have anything to do with the world. Praise God. And he preached repentance. Repentance. Hallelujah. Repentance. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now that voice today is present in our hearts today. See it. You are not going to see John, any man out there in the wilderness anymore. Rather, you are going to hear that voice in the wilderness of your own heart, in the wilderness of your unbelieving self. See, in the wilderness of your Adamic existence, you will hear that voice saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Praise God. Because the glory of God is about to be revealed. What is the glory of God? Christ is the glory of God. And that glory of God to be revealed is nested within your very self. So when we're hearing messages like this, we don't take them lightly, because it is the voice of that one crying in the wilderness saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. See it. And you prepare the way of the Lord in yourself, by adhering to the voice of the Spirit in this hour. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, so that the Lord will come. Because the Lord comes in you. The Lord comes in you as the truth dawns in you. The Lord comes in you as you submit to the truth. The Lord of glory is you. It is your own self that went to sleep in the transgression. That is the Lord of glory. That is the word of God revealed. Hallelujah. Isaiah, I think it's chapter 40, speaks about the glory of the Lord being revealed. And all flesh beholding the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord being revealed is Christ in you. The only way the world can see that word manifest in the flesh is through you who hearken to the voice of him that is crying in the wilderness. Praise God. Now, I just want us to read something from Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Just start from verse 2 so that we have a clearer of verse 1. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Now you see this in Isaiah 40. It was fulfilled at that time in this man called John the Baptist. Praise God. But today you're not going to see John the Baptist without. You're going to hear John the Baptist within. Of course, God will send his ministers with that same voice of John the Baptist. See, telling you to prepare the way of the Lord. See, but that voice can only awaken a voice within you also, telling you to prepare the way of the what of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord in your heart, because the Lord is about to be revealed in you. Hallelujah, praise God. Let's move on. I'll go to verse 4, Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. Then came out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized by him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able to make this of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth good fruit, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner. And mark here, and he will burn up the shaft with what? With unquenchable fire. Praise God. Prepare you the way of the Lord, because the Lord is about to be revealed in you. See it. Repentance, true repentance, prepares the way of the Lord in you. See, true repentance is about returning back to originality, returning back to Christ. True repentance is submitting yourself once more to God's order, which the Spirit is revealing to us in this hour. That is repentance. See, changing your way of thinking, changing your perception, and returning back to that way we used to think before we were, you know, encompassed in this darkness that constitutes this world. That is repentance. See, God wants His sons to repent of their carnality, of their human living, and to return back to their first states as sons of God. Praise God. So you have to pick up this word with you and begin to awake. Prepare the way of the Lord in your hearts. Begin to stir up the Spirit within you. Begin to walk once more in the revelation light of the Christ in you. That is the repentance God wants. See, it's not about going before a priest on Sunday and confessing your sins. It's not about going before congregations and confessing your sins every Sunday in church. The repentance God wants of His sons is that we change our ways. Because my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Our thoughts, we have to begin to live once more by the Spirit of God. Prepare the way of the Lord. See, to recognize the Christ in you. This is the hope of glory. This is the glory of the Lord to be revealed. This is the coming of Christ. And this is a voice that must be obeyed. Because you can see the scribes and the Pharisees came there to be baptized too. And he, you know, John the Baptist told them straight away, you know, generation of vipers. Now, vipers in this sense is talking of snakes. Serpents. Generation of what? Of serpents. Of course, you don't need to point to anybody out there. See, we are traditionally built to point the fingers. Accuse other people, isn't it? Point the fingers at other people and say, these are serpents. See, first of all, you have to recognize that generation of vipers, we all became. We all became part of that generation of vipers in the fall of man. Praise God. In the transgression, man becomes an offspring of the devil. Don't you know flesh and blood men that litter this world today are all just a generation of vipers? Offsprings of the devil? Because the way we have walked as men is not the way God ordained us to walk from the beginning, but rather we became naturalized, carnalized. We became serpents by nature. You know a serpent? That is carnality. See, we've had our lives on the dust, crawling on the dust in carnality. We became devils. And that's why you see all kind of things in the world today. Killings, endings, murders. The things that flow out of the mind of man. Hallelujah. In the days of Noah, the Bible says that the thought of man was continuously what? Evil. That's what happened in the days of Noah. That's to show the corruption that is in man. Jesus Christ says that it's the things that come out of a man that defies a man. envies, jealousies, hypocrisies, murders, pride, competition, slanders, blasphemies. Just name it, it flows continuously like venom from man. Murderers, accusers. See, this is the nature of the devil that every man puts on in the transgression of Adam. But the voice of him crying in the wilderness says, repent. Repent. Because repent and align yourself to Christ, otherwise you suffer the wrath that is to come. There is an unquenchable fire that is being lighted as you hear and come in contact with that which is Christ. See, John the Baptist talks about an unquenchable fire that is lit to burn off the shaft. Unquenchable. I listen to the word unquenchable fire. Did you see Jesus Christ lighting any fire when he came here on this world? But you can see that that appearing of the Son of God, like a fire, has continued to burn on and on and on and on, and it will continue to burn on and on and on and on throughout the ages. Praise God. Jesus Christ represents the truth. Christ represents the original. Christ represents the invisible made manifest in the visible. Christ represents the Spirit. He represents the original life. He represents the love of God. He represents the unveiling of God's presence. Praise God. And the unveiling of that which is Christ to this world is like a consuming fire that can never be quenched. Hallelujah. The chaff is being gathered on one side and the wheat is being gathered on the other side. The wheat represents the Christ in you. The wheat represents your true identity. The wheat represents the personality in you that is known of God. And is a purely spiritual, immaculate, perfect entity. He's without God. He's perfect. He's God. That is the good seed. That is the wheat that is being gathered into the banners in heaven. See, he has come to gather that which is lost. He has come to reconcile unto God. See, but the shaft is being burnt in that unquenchable fire. The shaft is flesh and blood. The shaft is anything that is a lie. Anything that is not of God the Father. You see, normally when you have the shaft, for instance, you have a corn, you know the outer part of the corn is like a shaft that you remove, isn't it? Isn't it? For you to eat the corn, you have to peel off the, you know, isn't it? It hides that which is inside. So you mean in every man that you see today, there is that good seed in him. Even can you imagine some days back, one of the leaders in the world, what they call him, Muammar Gaddafi, you saw the way he was murdered, he was killed by the people in that day. And people have called him evil, dictator, bad, seed. But God never knew Saddam, or what they call him, Gaddafi, the way we knew him as men. Because inside Gaddafi, inside of that man, nested deep within him, is still that seed of God that is perfect, immaculate, innocent. Praise God. See, very, very few people can ever have the opportunity to test power like that man tested and acted any better. Mark my word today, even those people who have taken over power today in Libya, just give it time and watch what will happen. See, but we men, we are fond of accusing each other and, you know, looking for the downfall of the other. So we're not here to talk about politics, but I'm trying to tell you that there is a good seed in every man. See, and God sees that seed in every man, and God loves every man. Are you listening? Every man. See it. That which God destroys, which is unquenchable fire, is the shaft, is the carnal aspect in man that hides and has shielded that which is the good seed in you, which is Christ in you. See, but we are warned also, because it is a dreadful thing, it is tormenting to be without, on the wrong side, and to see the glory of God from without. Praise God. When you walk contrary to the ways of God, the glory of God now becomes a tormenting factor to you, as long as you disagree with it. See, it's a tormenting factor that can never be quenched. It will be within you forever until you agree with it. Hallelujah. When God comes to judge the world, or rather, when there is the judgment of the world, the famous lake of fire, the famous burning, God does not come to destroy any man or to punish any man. Let me just tell you, that is not the mind of God. God is love, and He simply manifests love purity. But that same love that God manifests becomes a burning, tormenting factor. See it. For those who reject the gospel. When you are without, in your pain and in your tribulation and in your bitterness, you begin to see the joy, the beauty, the holiness, the sheer utter perfection, the power of God emanating from those who manifest Christ. It's a tormenting factor. You don't have rest. It brings conviction of sin. There's no rest. Praise God. Even the presence of Jesus in those days gave the scribes and Pharisees sleepless nights. You know what I mean? Sleepless nights. And I tell you, even after the death of Jesus, their torments continued on and on throughout all eternity until they come agreeable unto the truth. See, love is like coals of fire. That will eventually conquer. No matter how long it takes, it will always conquer. Love is like that man riding on a white horse with a bow in his hand, going forth to conquer and to conquer. That is how God's realm swallows up the realm of man. God's invisible realm, God's invisible presence, swallows up gradually everything that is man, everything that is lifeless, dead, everything that is flesh and blood, embedded in the heart of man, is dissolved as His presence is made manifest. Glory, glory, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The book of Revelation chapter 21. When John saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, no more seas, meaning no more darkness, No more corruption. Hallelujah. No more ignorance. No more bottomless pit in the heart of man. New heavens and a new earth. Perfection. Sheer utter perfection of God. Coming into view. The new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. New heavens and a new earth. This is the new heavens and a new earth or the that comes into view with the revelation of Christ. Because this is the kingdom of God. When John the Apostle says, repent, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, he's talking about that new Jerusalem. God's word. Oh, hallelujah. Along with the unveiling of God's word also comes the judgment. Now you see here that the Bible says that those who keep the words, hallelujah, those who overcome. Let us quickly read Revelation chapter 21, hallelujah, verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit what? All things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Second death is the lake of fire. So we are seeing two categories of people here. So we are seeing two categories of classes of people here. There is the one that overcomes. Isn't it? Hallelujah. There is the one that what? Overcomes. Of course, he gives us the tools today. All the words we are hearing today is to build us up in Christ. And Christ is not what? Is not of the world. If you find yourself in him, you have overcome the world. Hallelujah. To him that what overcomes, will I give what? All things. Hallelujah. Praise God. These are the ones that enter into the new dispensation called the new heavens and the new earth. And they rule and reign with Christ. They sit on the throne of God. See it? And they enjoy a realm where there is no more hurt, no more pains, no more sorrows. All the things that they suffered as men in this world of illusion becomes a what? A thing of the past. Former things are what? No more. No more. All things are what? New. These are the overcomers. Praise God. God wants us to be in that company of the overcomer. And to stand in the company of the overcomer. Not just overcoming and falling back and standing again and falling. He wants us to be overcomers and to stand as overcomers. Hallelujah. Somebody say, how can I become an overcomer? Simply awaken to Christ. Awaken to your true identity. Awaken to the revelation you are receiving today. And you have overcome the world. Said. And the Bible here talks about another category of people. These are the fearful, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars. See it? Murderers, abominable. Now, it's not talking about people. It's not, you see, when you see things like this, it's not just referring to what people refer to as whoremongers or liars and all that kind of stuff in this world. We must understand that every man who transgresses in Adam, who put on the nature of the beast. Every man who has lived the false identity of the earthly falls under the category of the whoremonger, the murderers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, and all of that. Because all men are what? Are liars. All men are what? Liars. All men are what? Idolaters. All men are murderers. All men are sorcerers, whoremongers. See, you know, if you break your vows, if you are married to this world, see, I'm not married to God's kingdom. You know, you're a whoremonger. Fornication, when you walk in the flesh, you're already a fornicator. You have to understand these spiritual terms, eh? See, when you confess anything other than Christ, you're a liar. See, when you confess anything other than the original identity that God knows you as, you are a liar. So see, when you walk in the flesh, you already walk in this category. See, and all any man that walks in the flesh has his part what? In the lake of fire. That burneth with brimstone and fire. See it? And that thing, the lake of fire, destroys that layer, that shaft that we just read in Matthew. It destroys anything that identifies you with the natural, with the visible. Anything that tries to separate you in your mind from God's eternal purpose. See it? You know, we are so much attached to this natural realm. You know that? A lot of us as men, we've been so attached to this natural realm. Think that we have some kind of thing here on the earth and all that. All these things will be dissolved. Because these things are the things that bring sorrow for you. You worry yourself for little things that are not, instead of you to loosen yourself to the things of God and discover that you have all things. The Son of God inherits what? All things. The Son of God inherits what? All things. See, but men, you see them battling over a small resource upon the earth. Fight over property. Fight over land. Fight over, you know. Fight over a woman. Fight over this. Fight over that. Murder this, you know. Loosen yourself from this world and you will discover that all things are what are yours. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, one of our great inventors in modern history died a couple of weeks ago, and you can see in debt. Now he has no more control over that which he had control over. Of course, he might have a will and all that kind of stuff to control these things for a while. But I tell you, even with the wind of time and changes, that will eventually wear away. Because in reality, when you see inventions in this world, who do you think all the inventions come out from? Where does it come out from? It comes out of God. It comes out of the creative Christ in you. Everything belongs to Christ. All the inventions belong to Christ. All the riches in glory and everything belongs to Christ. In heaven and in earth, invisible and whatever. Everything belongs to Christ. And you see these things clearly when you awake from the dead. These things become more plain to you when you awake in Christ. Praise God. So God wants his sons to be overcomers. Hallelujah. God is sending his good word today to build us up. Build us up into the Son. To cause an awakening in us. When we hear the word of truth and, you know, reject and try to draw back from the truth, it is likened to crucifying afresh the Lord of glory. And you know, Paul says that the Lord of glory can only face that humiliation once. He can only be killed and humiliated once. No more will he suffer that kind of thing. Anything that tries to hinder the unveiling of Christ in you has to go through that unquenchable fire. Unquenchable. It can never be quenched throughout all eternity. The fires of Sodom and Gomorrah have been quenched today, isn't it? But this fire never quenches. It burns on and on and on, and it chips up and it chips up and it chips up. It chips up everything that is flesh and blood in man. Hallelujah. Let us be wise, brethren. Let us not be carried away with appearances, like many men are carried away with appearances today. Let us follow on to know the Lord, to love the name of the Lord, to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us go on to see the beauty of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Job's tribulation, Job said, he always spoke about one thing, that he will see the Lord at the end of this. Let our dream be to see the Lord. And you want to see the Lord, you see yourself. You will see the beauty that you are. You will see the glorious creature there that you are. Hallelujah. The boundless creature that you are. The elevated creature that you are. That should be your prayer. That I may know him. Hallelujah. If you know him, you can never know what that burning effect of the lake of fire is. Praise God. You remember in the days of old, when the Israelites were gathered upon Mount Sinai, around Mount Sinai, the Bible systematically chipped it in that the glory of God was like a fiery fire before the children of Israel, that they were scared to death as they beheld the glory of God. But to Moses, it appeared as what? A cloud. A cloud of favor. And Moses entered into that cloud. Said, if we change our mind, our thinking, the way we walk, if we repent and let go of the old to take a hold of new, received with meekness the engrafted word of God, we can begin to see God as a cloud of favor, as streams of river water. The book of Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter, let's just read it before I go to Daniel, because what we're about to read just now is also in Daniel. And Revelation chapter 22 from verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits and yielded their fruit every month. Praise God. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and a lamp shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be written on their foreheads. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's just stop there. I just wanted to show you a scene of the New Jerusalem. Those who enter into the New Jerusalem, the Bible says that they see the face of God. See it. John saw what? A stream. Clear as crystal. Crystal clear stream of water flowing from the throne of God. And on either side of the free of the, of this river was the tree of life. Now this tree of life is you and I. The tree of life are people. They are men who are redeemed. Praise God. These are men, spiritual men, who walk in that dimension of the new heavens and the new earth. Servants of God, they walk in the nature of God, in newness of life. They see the face of God. Praise God. Now you see, they see the face of God, this same face of God that Moses could not see. The Bible says that no man can see my face. Jesus, God says, no man can see my face and live. You know, if you, I don't know whether you've watched any of the Indiana Jones movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark. You see how the people who opened the ark of God were destroyed when they looked into it? They opened the ark of God to look. Remember in the days of old, when they had the tabernacle of the, in the days of old, you know, all those things are just shadows to teach us about the things of God. Now you see, the tabernacle had the ark. And you know, even in the days they were traveling, the ark had to be covered. See it? Purpose of opening the ark, it couldn't even be touched. The ark couldn't be touched by man. Purpose of what? Opening the ark to look into it. They were consumed. But God will see in the book of Revelation that these ones, these servants of God, see the face of God. They look at the face of God and serve God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because they are spirit. See, they have no attachment to this world. They have divorced themselves from this world. You cannot stand in that place and be of this world. Otherwise, you come tumbling down. It's a very high calling. High calling. So high calling. That's why at times when you meet people who get to this place, they act strange at times. It's a very, very high calling. You don't get there and mess around with God. Of course, God is not doing anything, but you see, you don't give room to the devil. You don't give room to the accuser to come and start sounding in your head. That's why you have to keep yourself. The Bible says that they see the face of God, and there is a stream of crystal clear water flowing from the throne of God. Now, this pleasant view of God's presence is for his servants, those who overcome. No more curse, no more pain, no more sorrow. It's joy and gladness in the presence of God. Walking in the nature of God. Walking as God. Because that thing is in you, is in I. But we must patiently, every man must hear truth, submit to the truth, and walk in truth. See it, even though in this flesh there might be obstacles here and there, but a man can experience the beauty, the totality of God's glory and power. It's available. You can experience the realm of laughter. It is available. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to go to Daniel, because in Daniel, this same view of the servants of God, serving God before the throne of God, is already mentioned here, but there's a bit of difference that we're going to notice. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, And the ancients of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like what? The fiery flame. And his wheels as what? Burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him, and tens of thousands and tens thousands stood before him. Now let's stop here first before we go further. Now you notice that you can see the same stream flowing from the throne of God, issuing from the Ancient of Days. Is the flow of his essence, the flow of his truth, the flow of his life. You see, but it is, Daniel sees it here as a fiery, that is a fiery flame. It was like a flow of fire. In contrast to what John saw as a crystal clear sea. But I want to assure you of something. That the ministers of God, who minister to God, those thousands and tens of thousands, multitudes that minister unto the name of the Ancient of Days, which is the one that sits upon the throne, that is the eternal life, that is the true God, and that is, these ones submit themselves and live unto that name. They serve that name day and night. These ones do not behold that stream that flows from the presence of God as a fiery stream. They behold it as what? As a crystal clear river of life flowing from the presence of God. Now we're going to understand why it appears as a fiery stream right now in Daniel. Because here God is revealing the judgmental aspect, the judgmental effect of his presence as it is being unveiled through the revelation of Christ. Because mark it, even when Paul went about ministering in glory, John and all these ministers, Jesus, all of them stood before that throne and were ministering as one of those company of servants of God who see the face of God. Praise God. If you go down the earlier verses in Daniel chapter 1, chapter 7, and because of time, I can't read everything, but you would do well to go and read an article I wrote some time back on coming with the clouds of heaven. You will see that the Holy Ghost comes like a wind to stir up the sea, which is actually the abyss, the realm of death, where we have all lived in the transgression of Adam. We all plunged into the realm of death in the transgression of Adam. And what does that mean? You know, the sea has a bottomless pit. You know, in our humanity, we were all going down that bottomless pit. It's endless destruction, endless pain, endless shame, endless sorrow. It continued going down a pit from tribulation to tribulation, where there is no knowledge of God. But Daniel saw the four winds of heaven stirring up the sea. It's actually the whirlwind bringing, stirring up the sea. And as he did this thing, four beasts came out of the sea. A lion, a leopard, a bear, another terrible looking beast. This beast came out of the sea as the wind of God stirred up this beast. And what? These beasts were brought forth before the Ancient of Days. They were brought forth before these multitudes this stream of fire emanating from the Ancient of Days. They were brought forth before the presence of the Ancient of Days. These four beasts. Hallelujah. Daniel said that he saw that the fourth beast looked like a man. He had the eyes of a man. And he spoke swelling words, blasphemous words. You see, when you look at those four beasts that came out, it's just talking about the man of sin. It's talking about man. Unregenerate man. See, the unregenerate beastly nature of man, the carnal nature of man, the devilish nature of man, the violent, unsubmissive, you know, nature of man. Example, what God is doing, and every man has to pass through this thing, first of all, is to get purified. God purifies us by bringing us before truth. Truth purifies us. See it? The Bible says that the fourth beast was one destroyed and burnt with fire. His body was what? Burnt with fire. And this is the lake of fire. See, once those beasts come out of that sea, they can't go back into that sea anymore. So once you hear this message, once the Holy Ghost has blown upon you to bring you out of the depths of the sea, from the ignorance that is in the depths of the sea, the abyss, once the Spirit of God gets you out of there, fetches you out of there, you cannot go back there anymore. But you now stand before what? The eternal presence of God. And judgment must start in you. Praise God. And the burning is the consummation of the man of sin in us. Now, the man of sin is simply the man. You know, we in the transgression, what happens is that we formulated a man. See, a natural man. We formulated a man of this world, according to the wisdom of this age, which is not actually a man that is known of God. He's a liar. That is the one that exalts himself in this temple, saying that he's God. Hallelujah. You just look at men, look at us, when we walk as men. See, you want to be heard, isn't it? You want your voice to be heard, isn't it? You want to be seen. You want to be adored. You want to be worshipped. See, you trample on anything that comes upon your way, isn't it? Yes. That is the beast. That is the nature of man, the violent, carnal nature of man. But Paul said that we have put on the image of the earthly, the terrestrial, the natural, the beastly. We shall also put on the image of him that is what? Heavenly. So what happens is that out of the sea, God fetches out this unregenerate man, and we are brought before the throne of his, you know, his presence. And there is a consuming effect as every man is presented before the throne of God. God is love. God does not have to do anything to any man. He does not do anything. God simply is. But truth burns off the lie. Truth destroys, consumes anything that does not agree with it, like fire. Truth is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. In the book of Thessalonians, chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, Paul talks about the destruction of the man of sin, or the man of perdition. He's destroyed at the brightness of the coming of Christ. See, the outer man, which is the man of the flesh, our human identity, is destroyed by the brightness of his coming. It's both within and without. You see, this is within us and without us. So, the revelation truth, the brightness of his coming, burns off and consumes everything that is what? Flesh and blood. See, it will definitely prevail. Hallelujah. Go back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 11. This is great judgment of God, the white throne judgment. The books are opened. And in verse 11, Daniel chapter 7, verse 11, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Hallelujah, praise God. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their life was prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near unto him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Praise God. Now we are seeing something here, very interesting thing here. It's talking about the destruction which we just talked about, the judgment of the beast. See, the beast that spoke with great swelling words. We've already these are all things that describe the unregenerate man of sin. Is destroyed, was slain by the word of truth and cast into the fire to burn. And after all these things, we see how Daniel sees the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Praise God. Now this is the coming of Christ within. Praise God. So at times you don't have to look back when you see people tormented by the message that is coming. You don't have to worry, because God will get them to that place where they should get to. Praise God. The Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. That same Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven is the same one that came out of the abyss. Is the same one that was in the abyss, that was brought out of the sea and brought before the judgment throne of God. The judgment throne of God destroys the outer man. It destroys every trace of carnality in you. And I tell you, carnality is the problem with every man. Like we saw in the other message, carnality is death. Paul says to be carnally minded is what? Is death. To be carnally minded is what separates man from God. It's what separates man from his great glory and power, from his joy, from his peace. It's carnality. Praise God. So we see a pattern, an ascension pattern here, ascending out of the depths of the sea where there is no knowledge of God, where we all lived, you know, in the natural carnal beings, just to eat your belly and how to just progress and follow your course upon the earth in vanity. But after this, there's an ascension as you hear the truth, and the layer of lies, everything that is carnal in you, is destroyed. The boastful man, the natural man, flesh and blood cannot inherit the God's kingdom. As we begin to hear truth and see truth, perceive truth, there is judgment first of all in the house of God. And this judgment is about a purification and a and you know what they call it, putting to death of the old man. And when that old man, as that old man disappears, what happens is the true you is brought to light. The true you is the one coming in the clouds of glory. That is you in God's glory. That is you in God's kingdom. That is your perfect, immaculate state that you lost in the transgression of Adam. Do you know you are a king? Do you know you have a kingdom that can never pass away? Hallelujah. Do you know that everything that the Father has is yours? All dominion is yours. Oh, praise God. God created you, says, let him have dominion over everything. That is you. But we lost these things in Adam. Praise God. The unquenchable fire of God. The lake of fire. Indeed. It's an invisible activity. See, it consuming everything that is not God in our lives. See, it. Judgment begins in the house of God. First of all, we must start by submitting to the truth, listening to the truth, standing in the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. The whole world, that anything that does not agree with the truth has his part in that lake of fire. Praise God, that is unveiled through his messengers and through the voice of the Spirit in these last days, through the word. Hallelujah. The natural world, this physical world of men and man's glory, coming in contact with the world, God's world, God's realm, God's kingdom. God's kingdom consumes, swallows up this natural dimension. That's what the lake of fire is all about. Praise God. And we must avert that it is not pleasurable to be on the wrong side. Somebody said, well, that means I can do whatever I want. Well, go and do whatever you want. But bear it in mind that there is no rest forever, day and night, for those who have perceived the truth emanating from the presence of God. Once you have heard this truth and seen it and experienced it, you must agree with it, because like a fire that cannot be quenched, that truth will remain with you forever. God bless you. Father, we bless you, glorify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've spoken on the lake of fire today. Thank you for your words, your precious words. Hallelujah. We ask elevation in consciousness in your people. Hallelujah. A willingness in your people. The people shall be willing in the day of your battle. Thank you, God. Let there be a stirring up to every man who hears this message. Hallelujah. To him that overcomes, I give me all things. No more curse. No more pain, no more sorrow. All dominion, all power is given unto him. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Thank you, God, for the revelation of truth. Thank you for the purification of truth. The deliverance that comes with truth. Blessed be your name, O King of glory. Amen. Amen.
Haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he's not weary, and there's no search in his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. they'll mount up with wings like the eagles.
They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. He will renew their strength. He will renew their strength. They that wait upon the their strength.